World leaders are beginning to completely turn on Israel, from Poland to Turkey to South Korea, Japan. I mean, even Asian nations are jumping in on this, to European nations, Spain, Italy, Germany even, which is something else, because Germany usually just gives Israel a complete pass for anything and everything, feeling like it cannot criticize, should not criticize. Oh, but they're starting to criticize. Let's start off with Poland. A Polish MP displayed the Israeli flag, but the Israeli flag looks a little bit different. Watch this.
Poles are already feeling Israel's attacks in the Middle East through fuel prices, but how do children feel it when dozens of times more have died than in the entire war in Ukraine? It's because the Jews are using a forbidden phosphorus bomb, which depletes oxygen from the air and leads to their death by suffocation. The smoke from this bomb gets into the lungs and burns them from within. They suffocate and burn from the inside at the same time. Tens of thousands of women and children. But if some child is lucky and doesn't suffocate, white phosphorus will stick to their cheek, to their hand, and burns through the tissues right down to the bone. It cannot be extinguished, so the cheek must be cut off, the hand amputated. Israel is committing, right before our very eyes, a genocide of truly horrific and exceptional cruelty. Israel is the new Third Reich, and its flag should look exactly like that.
Oh! Thank you so much.
What's interesting is that people in the crowd, the rest of the MPs, didn't gasp in shock when they saw that. They instead sat there and they looked at it, and then they seemed to cheer. So people are feeling like, yes, Israel is acting like Nazis. Here's Turkey. Erdogan compares Bibi to Hitler.
Israel's stalling and deception should not be given any more credit. In the absence of the implementation of UN Security Council Resolution number 2735, coercive measures against Israel should be put on the agenda. Israel's behavior has once again demonstrated that it is imperative for the international community to develop a protection mechanism for Palestinian civilians. 70 years ago, just as Hitler was stopped by an alliance of humanity, Netanyahu and his murder network must be stopped by an alliance of humanity. We believe that the General Assembly's authority to recommend the use of force, as in the 1950 resolution on unity for peace, should be considered in this process. Israel's stalling and deception should...
Sorry about that. Okay. And by the way, we do dub these into English so that we can all understand them rather than reading subtitles. So Erdogan there comparing him to Hitler, saying, you know, we need to, just as Hitler was stopped 70 years ago by United Front of Humanity, Netanyahu and his network of violence must also be stopped by a global alliance of humanity. This really upset Bibi. Bibi is now putting Turkey in its crosshairs. Turkey is the new Iran, according to Israel. Many inside of the Israeli government have been putting their sights on Turkey. Netanyahu has been tweeting a couple of times about Erdogan. This is one of them saying, Israel, under my leadership, will continue to fight Iran's terror regime and its proxies, unlike Erdogan, who accommodates them and massacres his own Kurdish citizens. He also tweeted out against Erdogan, saying that he's supporting terrorists. So very clearly, Turkey is going to be 2 weeks away from having a nuclear weapon for the next couple of decades here very shortly. And, you know, Turkey is a NATO ally. Israel is not. And yet Israel is, you know, this is the bloodthirst doesn't stop. It just never stops. It will continue to spread. And guess what? You and I are not Jews. And they will come after us next because they believe, Netanyahu and Zionists, not all Jews, of course, believe this. There's many of these Zionists who are against other Jews as well, thinking that they're also the enemy, and they're coming after them also. They're going to separate from them, sort of like the Shias and the Sunnis, right? That's what's going to happen between some Jews and other Jews, that they're going to have some other new name for them. And then they're going to be waging war. I mean, what we see with the Sunnis, for example, is they go after the Shias more than they go after anybody else. And I think, you know, we could predict the future with Zionists, is that they're going to go after the anti-Zionist Jews, just like the Sunnis go after the Shias. And then they're also going to come after the rest of us, just like the Wahhabis come after the rest of us too. So everybody's in their crosshairs because it's religiously the thinking of we're the chosen ones. This is our land. God promised it to us. The world hates Jews. The world has persecuted Jews. Christians are the ones who committed the Holocaust. That'll be used against the Christians next. So there's no end to this. It's starting with the Arabs because the Arabs are on their land right now. But when the Christians turn, which they have been, they're going to start aiming at the Christians again and say, see, you've all been genocidal maniacs this whole time. None of you are our friends. And now that the Asians are turning against them, what are they going to say about the Asians? Are they going to say, now it's the Buddhists. The Buddhists have always persecuted the Jews. I don't know. Maybe. But here is the South Korean president. This is Jae-myung. And he says, I need to look into whether this is true. And if so, what measures have been taken? The forced comfort women issue that we are raising is no different from the Jewish massacre or wartime. Is that really what that says? Yeah. Or wartime killings. It's a bad translation. But essentially what he's referring to is he shares this video and he basically says, I need to look into whether or not this is true. This is the video. Viewer discretion be advised. This is a group of IDF soldiers throwing a Palestinian off a roof. Now, I will say this video is from 2004, and after some investigation, it turned out that this was somebody already dead. And so that's how the IDF excused it, is they basically said, well, this was already a dead body. But you see how the IDF treats Palestinians. They don't care. They don't care about, they're just, they don't treat them like human beings. And this was, you know, and we don't know how this person died. But this upset, the president of South Korea upset Israel. Israel was all mad about it and said, how dare you essentially add, you know, put this, well, this is exactly what the Israeli response was. So the foreign ministry of Israel said, for some strange reason, Lee had chosen to dig up a story from 2024 and cite a fake account that falsely presented it as a current event. Mr. President, it's always better to check before posting, the ministry added. What do you mean, check before posting what? This was real. This wasn't a fake AI video. This was a real video. You're bitching about it being from 2024 and not from this year. Like, oh, that was us last year. We're better than that now. We're enlightened. We've learned our lesson. We've groveled. You certainly don't have a single problem holding the Germans or the rest of the world holding their feet to the fire over the Holocaust, which happened 80 years ago. You don't have any problem with that. Oh, but a video that gets dragged up from 2024. How dare you? How dare you? The Israelis say. But this just shows, you know, even South Korea is starting, you know, this is, the Asian countries have largely stayed out of this. And now they're starting to point the finger at Israel and say, this is a problem. I mean, you've got the president on social media posting a video saying, I got to look into this. Is this true? This is terrible. So obviously, you know, and the thing is, the reason why the president of Korea would even believe that is because it's believable, because Israel does do stuff like that. And we've all seen it time and time again now for the last couple of years, live streamed to our telephones, right? So it's believable to the point where now even Asians who are on the other side of the world are shocked by this and starting to chime in on these issues. Jae-myung, he continued to say, it is disappointing to Israel, saying it's disappointing you don't even reflect on the criticisms from people around the world. You know, just, you don't even reflect on the criticisms that people have of you. So now you've got the South Koreans involved. Now the Japanese are too. Watch this. Again, we dubbed this for you, but Japanese TV points out Jared Kushner, and they're like, now, why is Jared Kushner even involved at all in these peace talks? Watch this.
Here are the individuals who are expected to be present. First on the American side, we have Special Envoy Witkoff, who has been involved in negotiations with Iran, Mr. Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law, and Vice President Vance, who is said to have opposed intervention in Iran. Meanwhile, from the Iranian side, we anticipate Speaker of Parliament Ghalibaf, the former commander of the Revolutionary Guard, and Foreign Minister Araghchi. Well, in these two countries.
And then, I have a very straightforward question. If you could enlighten me about Mr. Kushner, who is among the American delegation attendees, by what authority is he there? What exactly is this person? Trump's, his son-in-law. So, in other words, is he participating as a representative of the Trump family? That's the only way it appears to me. And what's more, he's Jewish, isn't he?
So, concerning these discussions with Iran, I actually get the feeling that it might be better if some people weren't even involved. I've always wondered who this person is, coming in with the title of son-in-law in such a position.
I like how the dubbing kind of suddenly went to an Australian accent, but whatever. You got the English there, right? So, even the Japanese are looking at it and saying, why is Jared Kushner even there? He's like a representative of the Trump family. He's married to Ivanka Trump, and he's Jewish. So, what is he doing there in these peace negotiations? And it is a good question. I mean, look, this is the United States against Iran. That's the negotiation on this. It's not Israel at the negotiating table. Yet, of course, the Americans, J.D. Vance, were sitting there calling Netanyahu all the time. Why do they even need to call Netanyahu? They've got his shiny, bright, golden boy, Jared Kushner, sitting right there. So Jared Kushner does a lot of the talking for the state of Israel, because that's who Jared Kushner actually represents. So why is he even there? You know, what is the point of that? Even the Japanese could look at that and say, you know, this just doesn't make any sense. The good thing about the Asians is that they're not gaslit or brainwashed with narratives their whole lives about Israel. They don't care at all. They don't know anything that's going on. So they're just seeing it now live streamed to their feeds too. And they're sitting there like, now what is going on? And what is this conflict? And they're all starting to kind of learn about it for the first time. And as they learn about it, they're sitting there thinking, well, this just doesn't make sense. And it looks like Israel's kind of a monster, because when you're removed from the propaganda and the brainwashing, that is the logical, natural conclusion. Israel's the monster, and it's obvious to everybody. Here's Giorgia Meloni. Now, she's like the Trump of Italy, kind of is what people claimed her to be like. She's a right-wing prime minister of Italy. And even now, she has come out against Israel, saying that she accuses them of crossing the red line.
But the response to an act of aggression must always adhere to the principle of proportionality. This holds true for individuals, and it applies even more strongly to states. And Israel has clearly crossed that limit with a large-scale war that is disproportionately affecting the Palestinian civilian population. And it is this boundary that the Jewish state ultimately crossed, violating humanitarian norms and causing a civilian massacre, a choice that Italy has repeatedly deemed unacceptable, which will lead to our favorable vote on some of the sanctions proposed by the European Commission against Israel. Italy is and will be there for anyone willing to work on a serious plan for the release of the hostages, a permanent ceasefire, the exclusion of Hamas from any governmental dynamic in Palestine, the progressive withdrawal of Israel from Gaza, the international community's commitment to managing the phase following the ceasefire, leading to the realization of the two-state solution.
Well, I mean, I think many of us don't even think a two-state solution is even possible at this point. Israel just needs to be shut down the same way that Nazi Germany was. And that's what obviously needs to happen. It needs to, that ideology and Zionism has to be eradicated. It is a scourge on the earth. It is causing death and destruction. It is a terroristic mentality. That is obvious. It is no different than Nazism. It really isn't. Even Germany sees that. And Germany, very rarely does Germany ever speak up against Israel. Germany usually just lets them do whatever they want. It's like the guilty parent that, sorry, I abused you, so now you get to do anything and everything, and I'll never criticize you once in your life, even when you're doing heinous crimes. And this is what Smotrich's response to Germany. Germany's Chancellor Merz says, I'm deeply concerned about developments in the Palestinian territories. In my phone call with Prime Minister Netanyahu, I made it clear there must be no de facto annexation of the West Bank. That's all he said. All he said was, You shouldn't take the Palestinian territory. And the Israelis had a hissy fit over it. Here's Smotrich saying, you know, he just cannot believe it. He says, on the eve of Holocaust Remembrance Day, it always comes back to the Holocaust. On the eve of Holocaust Remembrance Day, the German chancellor should bow his head and apologize 1,000 times on behalf of Germany, rather than daring to preach morality to us on how to conduct ourselves against the Nazis of our generation. You're the Nazis of your generation. That's what you don't understand. You see, what happened is, and it's very obvious, what's happened is, yes, Germany did you wrong. This was like the dad who beat the living hell out of you when you were a kid, just totally took the belt to you, abused you in heinous, horrendous ways, maybe even put cigarette butts out on you, right? Just extinguish cigarettes on your arm. Heinous, terrible things that we all look at and say, that was horrific and horrible, and that never should have happened to you. And we're going to rescue you from this situation. And we're going to ensure that people know what your father did to you. And that is what the world has done. But guess what? And guess what happens so many times to those same exact kids who grow up in that situation? They grow up and they have kids, and then they extinguish the cigarettes out on their own kids. That's what happens time and time again. Practically 100% of the time, when you take someone who is an abuser, who's been arrested for abuse, and you ask them about their childhood, what do they tell you? They themselves were abused almost 100% of the time. It's a psychological pattern that is built into the human way, unfortunately. The abused become the abusers. And that is what's happened to Israel. They've read about these stories, these heinous stories about what's happened to their grandparents, to their parents, and they absorbed those stories, the shock and the horror, went around telling everybody, we're the victim, we're the victim, we're the victim, which was true until it wasn't. And they no longer were the victim. They became the abuser. They became the victimizer, but they can't see it. They instead, when the dad who's reformed, went to lots of therapy, was forced into, you know, to change his ways and understand the heinous crimes he committed against his kids, comes around and says, I'm sorry, son, but I'm watching you now beat the living shit out of your own kid and put cigarette butts out on them. And I don't want to see it. I did that to you. That was wrong. I don't want you to do that to them. And the kid turns around and says, screw off. Who are you to say anything to me? What you did to me? Look at what you did to me. How dare you? How dare you? Well, usually the person who is the abuser is able to recognize another abuser. But Israel is unwilling to recognize that it itself is the abuser. But the world has caught on to this. The world knows that Israel is the abuser. And the world is now turning. And this is a really interesting flashpoint in Israel's history, because this is a moment when the world has always sympathized with Jews, the Holocaust, persecution, always wanted them to have their own safe place. All of that seemed logical to them. But now it doesn't, because Israel has shown itself to be an absolute monster. And the world, even shockingly, Asian countries at this point. And that's when you know the world has really, truly woken up to the heinous crimes of Israel. Thanks for watching this clip from the full Kim Iverson Show, which you can catch Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, for free at KimIversonShow.com. See you there.